Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180.
Midday 180.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharsky.
Say hello to Greg Cosell. Greg, how are you?
Chad, isn't there always a big party on Lower Broadway, Chad?
There's always a huge party. And you know that as well as anyone,
that.
Greg, because you've been here for a lot of the music in downtown Nashville.
I have, and I hope to get back soon.
It's going to be an even bigger party. I mean, there's always a party, even on a Wednesday night on Lower Broadway. There's going to be an even bigger party tonight, so we look forward to being a part of that.
Well, good.
Robert Griffin III, RG3, has reemerged, signs with the Baltimore Ravens. We haven't seen him in a little while, but your thoughts on RG3 and the type of player the Ravens are getting?
You know, if it wasn't for the fact that he was he's RG3 and a former number one pick, this wouldn't be news at all, because at this point, what is he? The last time he played, he was not very good. So he's a backup player. He's not going to take Joe Flacco's spot. And I guess Ryan Mallett was the backup. I don't know if he'll take that spot either. So I think he's just being brought into camp. And I don't think there's any more to say at this point. The last pictures we have of him, he was not very good.
Brandon Cooks was pretty good for New England.
Yeah, that was a surprise now.
Yes. So he gets traded to the L.A. Rams. Of course, the Rams now losing Sammy Watkins to the Chiefs. So what do you think about the fit there with Brandon Cooks and that Sean McVay offense?
Well, my guess is, barring another trade, that he becomes their X, their single receiver to the short side of the field, the position that Watkins played. For people who had Reynolds, who they drafted last year in fantasy leagues, I'm sure they're unhappy, but I think Brandon Cooks will take that spot, and it'll be a good fit. I mean, Brandon Cooks can line up at the X receiver in the context of that offense and be very, very good.
How much... Rams overall, we don't generally ask you overall questions, but they clearly are going for it. And,
yep.
And they've done a lot of stuff on both sides of the ball, adding a guy the quality of Cooks, adding a guy the quality of Ndamukong Suh. How much do you like the talent, adding those cornerbacks that Wade Phillips can obviously handle? You rank them now as one of the more talented rosters in the league?
Without question. And I think the corners are absolutely critical, because I think when you have good corners like that, they allow you to do a lot of things. I think Wade Phillips has a lot of tools in his defensive toolbox that he can pull out whenever he feels it's necessary. It'll be interesting because to me, Tlaib and Peters, they're sort of similar, I think, in their approach. They're both guessers. They gamble a lot. And I think the feeling is with that pass rush, they'll be able to do that. Because particularly in long yardage situations, I think the feeling they'll have is that the quarterback's not going to get a lot of time, that the ball's going to have to come out. And they have two corners who are cluers, keyers, and guessers. And they're both very, very good at it.
Titans signed Will Compton to a one-year deal. I'm envisioning him as a guy that kind of could work in tandem with Jayon Brown, an early down run guy, compared to Brown being a – tell us about Compton and how you think he fits.
Compton's an interesting player. I mean, he's a guy who's got over 30 starts in his NFL career. He's a tough inside linebacker. He's not quite as big as you'd like to be. You know, he's one of those guys that probably, when you look at the so-called measurables, he's not quite as big as you'd like. He's not quite as athletic as you like. But he's a kind of a solid inside stacked backer who, you know, he played in Washington where the base defense was a 3-4. So he's comfortable in the 3-4. If you have to start him, if you feel that he has to line up and be one of your starting inside backers in your base 3-4, I think he can do the job. He can be productive for you. Is he the kind of guy that maybe you're looking to improve on over time? Yes. But I think that you can line up with Will Compton and be comfortable.
What the other guy coming through town, Jordan Matthews, it's funny because I talked to Mike Vrabel at the owners' meetings, and he made himself sound very comfortable with the four they had. And I asked him about how many he'd carry, and he said, well, the fifth guy is going to be about what he does on fourth down. But what would you think of Jordan? What's Jordan Matthews got right now?
I'm not sure. I think to me, Jordan Matthews is a slot receiver. I'm not sure how they see their receiving core as we speak today, but to me, he's a slot receiver. And, it's interesting that he doesn't seem to be in high demand, which tells you pretty much all you need to know, Paul. I've always believed that teams tell you about their players the way they use them, and then the league tells you about players by the way, in these situations. So he's not a receiver in high demand because he's a certain kind of receiver. He's a big slot receiver. And really, to me, that's what he is, and I think the league is clearly seeing him the same way.
Greg Cosell from NFL Films is our guest here on the Midday 180. Let's talk about some draft prospects now, Greg, as we've been rolling through a bunch of them over the last few weeks. I want to start with Billy Price, the center from Ohio State, a guy that's got a track record with Mike Vrabel in his time there at Ohio State. What do you think about him?
Oh, I liked him on tape a lot. And, he's started 55 consecutive games at Ohio State. I think he and Vrabel may have started the most games in their careers at Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken. But I really like the player. I think he's a strong player. A term we all like to use when you talk about centers is snap-to-step quickness, and he has very good snap-to-step quickness, and he punches with authority. He's got the strength to quickly control and drive through blocks. I think he's a really, really good prospect. I think he's played center. He's played offensive guard, which I think he could play in the league as well, because obviously they had Pat Elflein there playing offensive center for a number of years. And Price was a first-team All-American at both guard and center. I think he's a really, really good prospect.
We've been having you've caught wind of it. We had 15 young analysts up and coming kind of audition to be your apprentice. Once Hutton's back, we'll kind of review these guys and have a final thing.
Do I get a say in this, PK? Do I get a say in this or what?
Well, if you want to listen to a bunch of audio of other guys talking.
We didn't think you had the time to go and listen to 15 different interviews.
I really don't, but just thank you for your consideration.
Yeah, second,
we appreciate your honesty,
thought,
Greg.
Yeah, on second thought, I have no interest in it. The guy we had on yesterday, whose name, of course, I'm going to forget because they're now 15 guys, mentioned that he liked the idea of Matt LePan, who we liked a great deal. He mentioned Iowa's Josie Jewell as an inside backer beyond the Vander Esch tier who might be a fit for the Titans. I'm curious what you've seen of Josie Jewell.
I've seen a ton of Josie Jewell, and Josie Jewell's an interesting player, but he's a really good football player. The problem is he's somewhat athletically limited. He's not quite as big as you like. What he does really, really well is he is outstanding at what we call key and diagnose. He has great play recognition. He plays with his eyes exceptionally well, and he has to, because in the run game, which is the only place he would play, he would never play in sub packages. He has to play ahead of blocks. He's not stiff. He's actually got looser hips than some of these linebackers who will get drafted higher, and he's got a quick trigger in terms of what he sees, but he's just athletically limited. And in fact, I talked to a coach about him, a defensive coordinator, who really liked the player in terms of the key and diagnose, but just didn't think that he had quite enough to be a quality starting linebacker in the league.
After, the two guys up top, then Evans and Vander Esch figure to be maybe factors at 25. Is there a big drop-off after that? Is Jewell in the next group?
I think the guys that might be looked at in the next group would be the Malik Jeffersons from Texas, who's, very straight-line athletic. He looks the part. When you see the kid on tape, boy, he sure passes the eyeball test. He's not a supple kid. He's not a loose kid. will he be seen as a weak side inside linebacker by a 3-4 team like the Titans? Maybe. I think he's got the size and traits you look for, but he's a little stiff at times, but I think he'll be in the conversation.
You think he can be a three-down guy or grow into a three-down guy?
Not initially.
Initially, maybe. He's a what?
I think for a team like the Titans, you'd look at him as the weak side inside backer in their base 3-4. That's what I think they probably look at him as. I mean, he was 236, which is good size, not big, but good size. He ran well in a straight line. He's a straight line kind of player. He's not doesn't have great transition, change of direction. He's not a loose-hipped kid. He's a straight line kid, but he's got some straight line explosion to him.
It's funny, so many of these guys seem to be either the athlete or the diagnoser.
The Josie Jewell, yeah.
Yeah, it just goes to tell you how hard it is to find a guy that can do both. And Vrabel ultimately, I think, had good enough athletic skills that he could do both based on the mind leading him there. I'm wondering if they can find somebody in his mold.
And that's why a guy like Jewell, I would bet a lot of people see him differently because the kid's really, his play recognition is tremendous. Like I said, he stays ahead of blocks. His key and diagnosis is really, really good. I'm sure there are coaches who will look at him and think, you know, this guy, he made a ton of plays in college and he'll keep doing that. That's what he's done his whole life. I think he had over 115 tackles, whatever that means. You know, that can mean a lot of different things, but he had over 115 tackles in three consecutive seasons at Iowa.
One more inside backer I've seen kind of in that range of Jewell in some rankings is Micah Kizer of UVA.
Yeah, he's another guy that I think is, you know, I don't want to say stiff might be too strong, but I think he's another two-down guy. You know, he's another base defense linebacker. I think, you know, he's better playing downhill. That's his game. He's not a rangy guy. You know, I'm not sure exactly if he's a true starting linebacker.
You know what you're doing here, Greg? You're making me fall more in love with Vander Esch and Evans.
Well, there were two really good prospects. I mean, you know, Evans is clearly a really good prospect, and Vance, I think Vander Esch is too. You know, Evans could be there. I'm not good, as you guys know, at mock drafts and listing where guys are going to get drafted, so I don't know the answer to that. But I think that Evans certainly could be there, and Vander Esch could be there.
Greg Cosell from NFL Films is our guest here on the Midday 180. Greg, a couple wide receivers I want to ask you about. I want to start in the SEC. Christian Kirk from Texas A&M showed good return ability also in college. What do you think about him as a prospect?
Yeah, and that, you know, that always helps. You know, the interesting thing about watching Kirk is that all of his targets in 2017, and I watched all of his past targets, came as an inside receiver or as a movement receiver with some snaps in the backfield. He didn't have one target where he was the outside receiver. So you have to think that that's probably how he'll be seen by NFL teams, that he'll be a slot-type receiver. I like Kirk. You know, when I watched him, I thought of someone like Randall Cobb in the context of the Packers offense when Cobb was at his best. I don't know. Some might see Doug Baldwin, who does play on the outside. I think Baldwin is a little quicker and more purely explosive as a route runner. But, you know, a guy like Kirk has a lot of value in today's NFL with the amount of 11 personnel with three wide receivers on the field that team plays. So that, you know, that impacts, I guess, where you draft him, how you see that. Because if he's your slot guy, and I think that's what he'll be, then you have to decide what kind of value that is.
What about DJ Moore from Maryland?
Oh, I like that kid a lot. I think he's one of the most intriguing receivers in this draft class. You know, I think he's got the desired combination of size. He's got deceptive explosiveness, not a burner, you know, but he's got deceptive explosiveness. He's got reliable and good hands. I think he can be very versatile as far as alignment, too. I think he can line him up in different spots. You know, I wouldn't call him. I'd say he's more smooth and fluid than sudden. And I made the point in watching him. I thought that I'll be interested to see if he sort of faces the same kind of issues that Corey Davis faced as a rookie in terms of transitional quickness and separation burst, you know, to get used to the NFL. And he might face that, but I think he's a really good prospect.
I've asked you about a lot of interior offensive linemen. One guy I don't think I've asked you about yet is Connor Williams from Texas at offensive guard. What do you make of him as a prospect?
Yeah, is he being viewed purely as a guard these days?
That I'm looking at it right now as a guard. Do you see him possibly at a different position?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I watched him, you know, obviously play tackle. He was only 296 pounds at the combine. There's not a lot of 296-pound guards unless he's going to gain weight. You know, he certainly has a lean-looking body, and you don't think of guards as having lean-looking bodies in this league. So he's got lighter weight. I would say for sure, though, that the tape I watched indicate that he's a more consistent run blocker than pass protector at this point in time, and he was competitive. He was a little nasty, which certainly works inside, and I think he'll be an interesting discussion for a lot of teams, Chad, because 296, unless he's gained weight, 296 is very light for an offensive guard in the NFL.
Looking at defensive tackle, Taven Bryan from Florida, do you see him strictly as a 4-3 defensive tackle?
More than likely. That kid's a little freakish at times. I really enjoyed watching that kid. I got a chance to talk to his D coordinator because Jeff Collins is now at Temple, and he was Florida's D coordinator. And I got a chance at the Maxwell dinner to spend a good amount of time with him. And we were talking about Brian, who's the son of a Navy SEAL. I don't know if you guys knew that. Grew up, I believe, in Wyoming, maybe. But he's got everything you want. He's got size, length, athleticism, movement. You know, I kind of hate saying this because I know how these kinds of comments are taken, but there were individual plays that Brian made that made you think of J.J. Watt. He has that kind of athletic, physical talent. Now, I'm not saying he's J.J. Watt, but there are times he looks like that. And, you know, I think he has a lot to learn because I think he's a little unrefined in his feel for the game. He's on the ground a little too much due to lack of awareness. But he flashed rare athletic traits at times. And if you get him with the right coach and really give this kid a chance to develop, I think this kid could be a special interior D lineman.
I feel like it wouldn't be a visit with you talking draft if we didn't ask about at least one Alabama prospect. So I'll do that right now. Daron Payne, defensive tackle from Alabama. What do you think of him?
Like him a lot too. He's another guy that I really like. He's a tough guy not to like. I mean, you know, he follows that recent line of Alabama interior D linemen. You know, you have Jaron Reed, you got Ashawn Robinson, you got Dalvin Tomlinson. I think Payne's a better athlete than each of those three, and to me has more upside as a three-down player who eventually can play inside in your sub packages and actually be a pretty good pass rusher.
Greg Cosell, he joins us every Wednesday at 12:20 here on 104.5 The Zone. We're having a competition to name his apprentice for a reason, because Greg is the very best at what he does.
I'm sure glad you said apprentice and not replacement, Chad.
Yes. Well, and it's funny.
Because then I would have hung up the phone and I would have started crying.
Greg, we have one of our guests, one of the contestants in this competition, 14 years old. And people on Twitter were saying he sounds like Greg Cosell would have sounded in middle school. When he was on, he was really, really good. 14 years old, goes to Senior Bowl every year.
I don't know if I sounded like this in middle school, Chad. But
yeah.
Well, so are you saying we should snatch him up?
We didn't know he was 14 when we signed him up.
I feel like, you know, this is the voice, you know, and that's what I feel like we're doing here.
Yes, and you are Adam Levine. If this is the voice,
I'm glad you didn't say I was Kelly Clarkson, because you know.
Yes. Greg Cosell, always a pleasure to have him on. Greg, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.